The Leo Alves Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Leo Alves Podcast. And in today's podcast episode, I thought I'd do something a little bit different. Now, I know, and maybe you know, food in America, the US, it's a very popular topic. And I thought in today's podcast episode, I'd share my experiences with it. Now, in this podcast episode, I'm not necessarily going to come to some sort of conclusion or tell you what you should and shouldn't do or what you should believe. But what I'm going to do is just, again, highlight my own experiences, share my own stories, and just discuss what I found happened with me as well. And I think that some of it might surprise you, some of it might sound obvious, and some of it you're probably even going to think, Leo, why are you sharing that? Anyway, in today's podcast episode, I just do hope you enjoy it, and with that, I'm going to get stuck in. Now, I do want you to bear with me, because now I have like a soft script here in front of me, because I am taking a trip down memory lane with all of this, but some things are going to be coming to me during the episode, like certain memories maybe suddenly hit me, and maybe things won't be in, you know, the exact order that they happened in, but I'm going to do my best. So if I sound like at times I'm a little bit all over the place now, you know why. It's because I'm relying on memory quite a bit here, and I'm trying to do my best to rely on my memory, rely on the notes I have in front of me, while still keeping it clear as possible for you and for you to enjoy the experience as well. So, and with all of that said, let me just get stuck in. So for context, I'm as European as it gets. You know, I'm born and raised in London, South London. I have Portuguese parents. I grew up, I would say, on a lot of home-cooked meals for sure. That's not to say I wouldn't eat out. I definitely would. And I loved fried chicken growing up in South London as much as the next person. But definitely home-cooked meals a lot. I'm very used to walkable cities. And I will say food that wasn't sold in buckets. And I'll get to that later. But yeah, I'm very European. I've even done a DNA test, and I think it came back like 99% European with it. Like, I think the other... No, it was like 96 European, and then I think I was like 4% Moroccan. So even then, Morocco is very close to Spain and Portugal. Now, I have experienced the US on three separate occasions. So I experienced it for about 10 months between 2016 and 2017 during an exchange year at UVM, the University of Vermont, based in Vermont, the city of Burlington. And with that, I frequently traveled around New England because I made a lot of friends at that exchange year in New England. I had an amazing year and I loved it. And it was probably one of the best years of my life, if not the best year. It was very adventurous and honestly full of memories I'll never forget. And then in 2019, I did a two-week trip around New England again. Mostly it was just to go back to visit all of a lot of my old friends. And then in 2022, I did a 10-week stay in Texas, mostly Houston and Pearland, but I did go to a few other cities to briefly visit and explore as well. So that was a very different experience being in the South compared to, you know, the Northeast. Each time, I will say, I had a blast. I've always enjoyed my time in the US. I've always found Americans very easy to speak to. Very friendly, very open, which I think is quite opposite to living in England. I will say, you know, both countries have their pros and cons. I do think English sense of humor is much better, at least in my opinion. I think it's, I do think it's much better, the sense of humor in the UK. I should say not even just English, in the UK in general. But I think in the US is... other things, like I said, people are just very easy to speak to. I can suddenly have a 10-minute conversation with a stranger out the blue. It doesn't matter where I am or where I go. Whereas in the UK, that's not to say it doesn't happen. It definitely does. But I think it's a lot less likely. People keep themselves a bit more to themselves there. Anyway, that's not why we're here. We're here because I want to say that American food generally tastes good. Really good, actually. And that's another thing. But it's a very different experience, and one I think my stomach wasn't always on board with. Now, I'm going to go through just different experience from the top of my head. You know, some I'm going to share them and you're going to be like, where's this going? And it's not really going anywhere. It's just a shared experience. And others are more, you're going to hear me say that and think, wow, that is quite interesting to hear. And I think the first time American food genuinely took me back, I would say, was it took me back a few times in 2016 and 2017, but I remember there was a shared experience where in 2017, when I went to visit New York City for the first time with my English friend Ed, who was also an exchange student from Blackburn in the north of England, and we got on like a house on fire, which I think is the expression, and we were exploring the US together for the first time. And I remember we both went to Burger King in New York City, and he ordered a large Diet Coke. And I remember when his large Diet Coke arrived with his meal, I remember we both stared at it completely taken aback at the genuine size, the sheer size of that bucket. It looked like a mop bucket. I remember us just laughing about it. Like, you know, there's large in the US, and then there's large in the UK, and then there's large in the US. And the large in the US absolutely put the large in the UK to shame. It made the UK large look like a medium or a small. And I remember that was just like one of the first times where I was just like, wow. Wow, that's wild. And then at my Vermont college dining hall, I remember, this is another one, so it's not about portion sizes this time. This was actually quite different. I remember I saw Cookie Crisp cereal, my childhood favorite, perfect. Or so I thought. Because the thing is, when I saw this familiar cereal, I thought, oh, nice, I'm going to have this to snack on. And I just took a bite, and I remember thinking, what the hell is this? It was the same brand, but way sweeter than in the UK. I remember thinking this is almost inedible, like with just how much sweeter it was. Now, I didn't look at the ingredient list or how much sugar they were putting in. I didn't look at anything like that. I didn't even Google it. It didn't even occur to me to do that at the time. I just remember thinking this does not taste like it does at home. Cookie Crisp at home is very nice. It's a nice snack. It's a nice, maybe a treat, you could even say. I like to have it maybe pre or post workout, but this is just something else. It tastes so sweet. I don't like the taste. I genuinely don't like it. And I remember I gave it another go about 2 months later, just to be sure. And it was still gross. That was my last bowl of Cookie Crisp in the US. Then fast forward to 2019. I remember I was bulking, and I ordered a large Chinese meal in Boston. So I had been bulking for like probably almost like a 9 or 10 months by this point. It was my first proper bulk. I made a lot of mistakes at the time, but mistakes that would benefit me for the rest of my life, because with that came a lot of lessons learned. And in the UK, I was, you know, frequently ordering large meals, just because as I was bulking and as I was getting stronger in the gym and as my scale weight was creeping up, I remember, you know, I needed larger meals to satisfy me in the same way as they would when I was a lighter body weight. I remember I could eat a lot. And I remember being in New York, and, you know, it was my first day or second day, and I was with another friend who, he's a big gym head as well, and he could also eat a lot, and we both ordered a large Chinese meal. No, I said New York, I mean Boston. I said that at first, and then I switched to New York. I'm in Boston. And I remember I could barely finish half that large meal. In Europe, like I said, a large feels spot on when I'm eating there, perfect. But in Boston, in the US, it was overkill. I was defeated about 40% through. And, you know, it wasn't just this one restaurant. That was the recurring theme throughout. And then I quickly realized, maybe a few days in, I was like, I'm not in Europe anymore. I can't be ordering larges, even though I have a huge appetite. Like, medium is where I'm at. And my friend felt the same way. Now, that was just, again, those were a few brief memories. Now, in Texas, this is where it was next level. Because within a day of landing in Houston, I remember my stomach was doing backflips. I liked the food in Houston. I liked the food there. It was really nice in Texas. I don't want to say just Houston because I was in more than just Houston. I really liked the food in Texas. It was delicious. But I was constantly bloated. I was constantly gassy. I could not stop farting. I was farting all the time. And again, I told you, I'm going to be straightforward with you on this podcast. The food was just doing something to me. I was frequently going to the toilet, and those trips were not good. I had frequent stomach aches as well. And again, this was pretty much my entire 10 weeks in Texas. And I don't want to say I was just eating fast food the whole time. Now, I will be honest. I was there for 10 weeks, and I did try iconic fast food chains because, you know, A, when you're in Texas, you have to. B, it was also to do with the temporary nature of my stay, where I was like, you know what, I'm not here for long. I wouldn't usually eat as much calorie dense foods as I'm having right now, but this isn't something I get to do in Europe or in Portugal or in the UK. So I'm going to be more lenient than I am on myself right now, because I want to try, you know, more the good food here. And that's not to say it was just like fast food or calorie dense foods. It was just everything. I was just more lenient in general. But I was still exercising. I was still doing workouts. But I just want to say I wasn't just eating fast food the whole time as well. Like, sure, like I said, I was trying fast food chains there, but I was still cooking at home, getting in fiber and protein, you know, tracking my calories on some days as well, trying to keep things balanced. Because, yeah, even though I was there temporarily, I was still there for 10 weeks. And if I wasn't careful at all, like, I would not have a good time when I get back. Because 10 weeks is still a good while. Now, I want to say, like, even though I was mindful of, again, like, cooking at home time to time, tracking my calories, prioritizing fiber and protein where I could, still exercising, still strength training, doing cardio, it didn't matter. It didn't make a difference. Like, my stomach was doing backflips for the entire 10 weeks. Things did not feel good. No relief, just a constant, like, bloated, gassy, digestive mess. And I don't want to say this was happening 24/7. It wasn't. But it was happening a lot more than I was used to, like, to the point, like, this felt weird. Even my wife was like, you're lucky we've been together for years, because this is something else. Like, I just couldn't stop farting. Like, it was wild. I think that was like some serious biological warfare that was going on in the house anyway. This was another interesting part. Get this, the day I flew back to Portugal after being in Texas for 10 weeks, all of it stopped. Gone. Like, nothing ever happened. Which I remember thinking, what on earth was that about? And I mean, like, all of it gone, nothing ever happened. As in, like, just what was going on with my stomach. That constant gassiness, going to the toilet and it not being a good experience in there. Like, it immediately stopped when I got back to Portugal. I want to say as well, like, Texas portions, they were next level as well. Like, huge. I'd order a large meal, eat half, and save the rest for breakfast the next day, sometimes for two people. And, you know, and I'd always heard everything's bigger in Texas. And yes, I agree. I do want to say I loved my time in Texas. It was a really cool experience. But again, I'm just sharing my experience in regard to the food in the USA, especially. So this isn't me saying it's good or bad. Well, it was, you know, it was delicious, but the way my body was reacting wasn't very good. So there was that. I also want to say I actually lost weight in Vermont, strangely enough. Like, on the surface level, it probably sounds strange, but probably because Burlington was super walkable. I partied a lot, for full transparency. I smoked a lot of weed. I wouldn't say I drank a lot compared to many other college students and my friends, but I was still drinking much more frequently than I was now. My nutrition wasn't very good. I wasn't progressively overloading at the gym. I do feel like a lot of what I was eating wasn't the most nutritious. I do remember I ate well. at the uni, but I don't think I ate enough. And then there was like, just again, a lot of habits that were working against me too. So I actually got super light, and I think it was the lightest I've ever weighed in my adult life. But in Texas, I gained a bunch of weight despite, again, consistent exercise and everything I mentioned before. I actually got really heavy. I just think, aside from being more lenient due to the short-term stay, I think it's also just the fact that the environment in Texas and Houston worked against me in regard to you can't walk. Like, you need a car to drive everywhere. So even though I was consistently doing cardio and strength training, like, my physical activity on a daily basis dramatically declined compared to, you know, like, Europe's very walkable cities, for example. I can, for example, where I live right now, everything I need is within like a 15-minute walking distance, radius, I should say. Like, or mostly most things I need, not everything, but most things I need, which is very good. Like, I can be physically active day to day if I need to go to the grocery store, the super, or the post office, or the train station, whatever it might be. Like, it's in a 15-minute walk for sure. Great restaurants, whereas in Houston, Texas, or any most places, if not all in Texas, like, you needed to drive absolutely everywhere. Like, 10-minute walk? No, don't even think about it. Like, that's impossible. You're not getting anywhere in 10 minutes. Yeah, you need a car for everything. Walkability is non-existent. And the food is indulgent by default. So, yeah, I just couldn't accidentally stay active the way I would have in many European cities. Now, overall, all of this isn't me to say, like, European good, food good, American food bad. Maybe you could say that and you could feel like that, but that's not my aim here. I'm just sharing my experiences. I do feel like American food is very delicious, even though my body reacted like that. Now, I always have fun in the US as well, and I can't wait to go back again whenever I do to visit, you know, my family there and my wife's family that live there, because my wife is American. But I do feel like all of this, these stories and these discussions and these experiences that I went through with food in the US and with my body weight fluctuating, like, it did bring up some questions, like, why are the portion sizes so damn big? I'd love to know that. I've never looked into it, but why are they? That's a good question. Why was this the same cereal noticeably sweeter? If I had to take a... You know what, let me take wild guesses to each question that I'm going to bring up. I'm going to say, first of all, why are the portions so big? I don't know. I genuinely don't know. I've never looked into it. If I had to completely guess, I would just say the US is a very consumer-based country. Like, they like to buy. Like, that's what, you know, and compared to many other countries, the economy is very good. So I think often it's like buy more, bigger, better, more, bigger. And I think that could be a big reason behind it. Maybe there's other things, but that's just me having a wild guess. I would say, so what was the second question? Why was the same bowl of cereal, the Cookie Crisp, noticeably much sweeter in the US? Wild guess, I haven't looked into it. Probably just a lot more added sugar is what I'm going to hypothesize. And the other question I had is, why on earth in Texas did it mess with my gut? Why did the food in Texas mess with my gut so much? It didn't happen in New England. I didn't feel like that in the other US states, which I should have emphasized earlier. It was just in Texas. And if I had to take a wild guess, and this one, my answer here is going to be longer than the other two, because I think there's more to it. I would say, number one, I think that the ingredients commonly used in Texas are just what my stomach wasn't used to. I think, now I often hear that, and people like to say, oh, like, the ingredients that they use in Europe is bad, like, they're banned in Europe and it's not banned in the US, things like that. And I don't even really think that's the case. I think it's just ingredients commonly used in Texas just aren't really used as much in Europe, or at least in Portugal, I should specify, or the UK. And I just think my stomach wasn't really used to it. I just think it wasn't used to it. Like, I know different oils are used in Texas, for example, compared to Portugal, which is, like, the common oil in Portugal is olive oil or extra virgin olive oil, for example. I think the tap water is different in Texas. I don't know what how it's different or what's different, but I know it is different compared to the UK. And I think, do you know what? I think it was a lot of small differences that just hit me all of a sudden, and I wasn't there long enough for my body to get used to it. I know the meat is raised differently in Texas, so the way animals are brought up, very different in Texas compared to the UK or Portugal. And like I said, I think it was just so many different things that happened at once that my stomach wasn't used to it, and I wasn't there long enough for it to get to for me to get used to it. And again, I haven't scientifically looked into all of this. I'm just like having random thoughts out loud and random ideas. Maybe you're trying to yell at me right now, like saying, oh Leo, you're forgetting this, the most important thing. And you know, I will or won't disagree with you, I don't know. But yeah, I think the thing is, why I don't think it happened in New England, but it did happen in Texas, is because I feel like New England has slightly more in common with European foods than Texas would with European foods. Now, I'm not saying New England food is the same as European food. I just think it has more in common, which is why I didn't react the way I did in Texas. And I think food in Texas as well, it's very calorie dense. It's very heavy. A lot more oil and butter is used. I would say that's another thing. So again, I think it's just I don't think it's one factor as to why I reacted like that. I wouldn't be like, food toxic, that's why. Like, I don't think it's as simple as that. I think it's just many factors that resulted in me feeling like that. And I think all of this is to say, it's just, you know, as you may have thought before, you know, this is, it's not just about taste or calories like many people would like you to believe when it comes to nutrition. It's also about how your body reacts, how it responds. And, you know, I think this is a nice way to end a podcast episode. If you're feeling, I think, frustrated with your weight or your energy or how you feel in general, I want to say I understand. Sometimes you're up against a society that makes everything convenient. Like I would say life is in Texas with the way everything is just a drive to. Or you're up against bigger portion sizes, or maybe you're, you know, visiting somewhere temporarily where maybe your stomach isn't reacting too well to it. I want to say that I have a free 14-day fat loss Kickstarter, which I think could be quite good for you to start, because I want there to be a call to action in this podcast episode, and I'm going to say it's that. I've got like basically, yeah, my free 14-day fat loss Kickstarter. So if you've been struggling with fat loss, this will help you get through your first 14 days with it. Basically, you're going to receive an email from me every day for 14 days. So for 2 weeks, an email a day every day. And no fads or detoxes. It's just advice that you can genuinely follow, easy to implement. And I feel like, imagine it's like having me every day in your corner, like just motivating you and pushing you and keeping you accountable for those 2 weeks, for those first 2 weeks, which are the most important as well, or very important at least. You could argue other phases of a fitness journey is very important, but that's not for this podcast episode. But anyway, I do hope you enjoyed this listen. I know, again, it was just a story. There wasn't like a real conclusion in there. It was just a lot of thoughts and experiences and how I feel and what I think. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on the back of this podcast episode. If you listen to this and you'd love to share something with me, then, you know, do send me a message on Instagram at Leo Alves PT. My handle is in the show notes of this podcast episode, and you can always reach out and let me know what you think. I'd love to hear what you think about what I've shared, and maybe you have your own things that you'd like to share as well. But otherwise, do have a lovely day. Take care, and I'll see you in the next podcast episode. That wraps it up for another episode of the Leo Alves podcast. I do hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. If you did, then please do consider sharing it with your friends, family, group chat, or even anyone else who you know could be interested in listening to that episode. Otherwise, if you haven't already, then please do leave a 5-star review on whichever platform you are listening to this on. And remember, all the relevant links, such as the inquiry form to potentially become a Kairos Online member, my social media handles, a free fat loss guide, and a free workout plan are all also found in the show notes of this podcast episode as well. Otherwise, take care, and I'll see you around.